are also going to do that very efficiently. So we've got CIDB first to run, and then CBE. Without any further ado, let's move over to CIDB.
Thank you. Honourable Chair and Honourable Member of the CPC, we thank you for the opportunity to present our annual performance and report. To reiterate again, our hand and apology for our chairperson, Mr. Bruno, who is not here with us today. But then we are able to be presented by board members who are accompanying the executive. And we have with us Mr. Ifan Mapidinyane and Mr. Flex and Mark Chester. Who is both the board member and the chairperson of the audit and risk committee. We also have Mr. Chris Gianni, who is a member of the stakeholder. My name is Lina Ronia Kaza, and I stand here for the chairperson of the Leader of the Association. I'm a board member and representing the Human Resource Committee and also the Registration and Regulatory Compliance Committee. We have with us also as the executive on my right, the acting CEO, Mr. Federico von Mule, who has been acting in this role since the 5th of February 2017. And on my left, we have the acting CFO, Mr. Siso Mugani, and also the acting head of operations, Mrs. Bonwe Joy. And the fact, Chairperson, for your benefit as the honorable member, we should also explain why we have all this acting information. And the CIDB has been like a construction site where we integrate between the organization in its institutionalization and also in the hearts and minds of people who have been taking treasures, playing pipes, and doing all that. So now I think the process of that is going to actually set a foundation for the CIDB to move forward. And when we looked at our, we had, for example, the 5-year review, and between 2014 and 2015, we had a lot of unpaid studies before how the CIDB moved forward. So this includes the 5-year review. We also had cultural studies that were conducted by Chief of Consultants, which came to the conclusion that the CIDB was a functional organization. We've also had the organizational architecture study that was conducted by the HR consultant. We've also had a report on employee engagement conducted by Work Dynamics Consultant. We've also based our plan moving forward for stakeholder feedback derived from the National Stakeholder Forum and also from the provincial stakeholder liaison committee. We've also been engaged in making inputs to the review of the CIDB Act, which is driven by the National Department of Public Works, our shareholder. But also, based on also our own understanding of the mandate of the CIDB, its role and its positioning in relation to the influence and impact that it needs to have on the construction industry and on South African society as a whole. We looked at what would be relevant and how effective vis-a-vis or within the context of any applicable legal and regulatory framework at the various stages. and you are looking at our vision and we being a transformed construction industry that is inclusive and empowered, and which contributes to a prosperous South Africa and the world. With also the good condition of the CIMB, where we see ourselves as existing in order to regulate and develop the construction industry through strategic intervention and to also improve our business and to see ourselves as being responsive, effective, innovative, ethical, accessible, and having the agility to respond and to demand as a demand. So, before then, I can over to the executive. I would like to stress that once we have had a revised strategic plan and associated APPs, we have migrated some of the old plans into the new plan framework and thinking. Because as you would know, we cannot start from a new form as we feel that the environment and where the problem is. But what we have discussed at board level and in committee, and all these understand what has been migrated to old plan framework, we need to interrogate them in terms of the understanding, in terms of the effectiveness and the impact that we might have in the set of things, showing that there's alignment with the new thinking. And this, honorable members and honorable chairperson, I would like to say we are looking therefore as repositioning the CIPP to be able to
second indicator is a percentage of public sector on the whole index. The part of our role as much as going high is to ensure that the clients, which are the buyers of the goods and services of construction in the sector, are actually in a position to procure in a way that enables growth in the industry. And then to round off the indicator of this particular strategic goal is a 5-year independent review of effect assessment, which will be an objective assessment to be able to assess that what we are claiming in terms of achievements in this particular goal is actually objective and effective. The second strategic goal is dealing with innovative and attractive construction industry. And the goal statement in pursuant of that strategic goal is to provide mechanisms and support to enterprises to be competitive and sustainable and to deliver value for money within the construction industry. In respect of this particular goal, the indicator that will tell us whether or not we're making any progress is a percentage of contractor, and PSP stands for professional service provider, satisfaction with client end. That will be the first one. The second one will be the percentage of client satisfaction with the contractor and also professional service provider end. The distinction between the two of those indicators is in respect of contractor and client, where they are part of the same coin. On one side of the coin, we're looking at contractors, which are the people who are actually spending the construction services. And on the other side of the coin, we're looking at the buyers of the services. And within this, we want to ensure that the aspects of the SMU of information within the sector are actually dealt with so that you can get a level of satisfaction that the sellers of goods and services understand what it is exactly that is required by the buyers of the goods and services. And then the last part of the volume indicator in pursuant to this particular strategic goal is the percentage of accident development index, which will give us an indication of how are we impacted in respect of building construction competence within the sector when it comes to accidents. And the APP, the operations head, will deal with the details in respect of how we envision to deal with that particular item. The third strategic goal is dealing with the aspect of being a reputable regulator. And pursuant of this particular strategic goal, we have stated that we want to regulate the construction industry in a public interest that will ensure that it is a fair, inclusive, flexible, transformed, enabling, and reputable construction environment. And the goal markers in respect of this particular indicator have been codified as following. The percentage of code of conduct investigations finalized within 6 months. The percentage of sanctions per 1,000 contractors with respect of grade 2 up to grade 9. The percentage of registered contractors effective index. The percentage of registered project compliance index. And the percentage of provincial performance index. And if you allow me then to move also to the next strategic goal, working in alliance and in pursuant to this particular strategic goal, we are pursuing the best partnerships and alliance to get industry stakeholders to achieve the NDP strategic goal. And a goal indicator that has been chosen about here to achieve this particular strategic goal is a percentage of CIDP perception and acceptance index. With respect to strategic goal number 5, we are dealing with some corporate governance, and that is to ensure that there is an effective, efficient, and inclusive structure of all governance and sustainable institution. And the goal indicated in that regard will be in respect of ensuring that we keep up getting clean water. And in that pursuit, we are already engaged in a process of operational design, commonly known as OD. And to date, we can confirm to the portfolio committee that the macrostructure has already been approved. What constitutes the macrostructure that has already been approved? It is functions that have already been approved, which are in accordance with the framework that will be given by the Department of Public Administration. The are to confirm that we do need a CEO to give leadership and direct the organization, that we need a head of operations, that we also need a head of finance, appointing them as CFO, that we also need a chief information officer, and that we also need a head responsible for strategic and corporate governance. In respect of operationalizing this particular macro structure, the representative of the board has already given an indication of who the people who are acting. The two that she did not mention is in respect of the chief information officer, that is Mr. Matthews Putti, who is our acting chief information officer. The one functional position that of the macro structure in our group that has been vacated is the one of strategic and corporate governance. The advert for the chief information officer has already gone out, and we've got an intention of putting out the advert for the other remaining portfolio heads during June. We are in the process of consulting and concluding and to present to our HR committee the microstructure that will inform the establishment that should take the mandate of the CITB forward in line with the strategy. At this particular point, I would like to hand over to the CFO, who will take us through the financials that we have a demonstration page on 16, which will be
might be dealing with about it. If we look at it, the annual budget for 2017-18 is 158.137, and for 2018-19 the budget is 134 billion, and for 2019-20 the budget is 184. And then how is the budget allocated? Administration year one to receive about 6 million, and then in year two to receive about 7 million, and in year three to receive about 82 million. And the members will understand that the reason why that particular program might seem to actually be driven by the fact that it carries a lot of support budget, even the authority always within that particular program. And if you go to the regulation application, in year one, you'll get about 65 million, and in year two, 57 million, year three, 71 million. Because of development and application, so we get a million, 40 million in year two, and about 50 million in year three. Industry performance and transformation, it's about 40 million in year one, and in year two, about 50 million, and then in year three, about 50 million, which sums up pretty much how the application will be within the FTDR. If I may proceed, we will discuss the performance plan. I will discuss a problem for one, the administration. And my colleagues will have a problem. There are two problems there. On page 18, the first problem of our deal with the problem is that of financial management, which will be under the office of the CFO. Our strategic objective within that program is to increase asset revenue streams to 35% by 2020. I think it's in nutshell what we are saying there. What we actually try to reduce the reliance on our program funding for the department. If I may just take the numbers into how are we funded currently, the budget of the program funding currently is about 35%, and 35% is being on generated revenue. So is there anything you want to actually try to self-sustain ourselves and try drive issue of the because we try to identify new income streams which we actually try to pursue. And by 2020 we actually want to actually try to reduce that reliance and did by it would take about 130% ensuring that we have reliance. And then if you go to sub program two, the information and communication technology, we want to actually move to a fourth level maturity of ICT governance framework. Insofar as the ICT framework as it stands now, CIDP is currently using a level 2, meaning our system, even though they are operational and don't have major issues, but in times of need or stress, CIDP might not be able to cope with any issues which or any stress which might be posed by whatever issue that might be. And the members will recall that one of the framework or one of the headquarters within the CIDB, as the CEO has said, the fact that we rely on the ICT framework to actually exist. That's the reason why the issue of the fair work has been addressed. And what we want to intend to do, the moment we move to the fourth level, As the company, we will be able to actually have the necessary skills and competency, as well as making sure that we are able to have the system in place which will actually allow us to be optimized insofar as issues of stability and making sure that we improve on services delivery. And the issue of the CIO, the first step is that the first step we as a company can actually address that particular opportunity in addressing it. On page 19, I'm dealing there with the sub-program strategic and corporate governance. Within that particular program, we want to become a high-performing organization. We have to achieve all of the business sets and targets. The objective statement is to ensure that all systems, processes, and procedures are effective, for the condition to achieve both sides. And then with another objective
to
ensure that the entity complies with all the respective requirements. The objective statement within that particular objective is to manage and improve the mechanism within the CITP to comply with all the respective requirements. And we also have another objective, where we have a few objectives within this one. If you think that the strategic objective is 1.5, we want to grow talent human capital by achieving a human capital recognized 9% of the whole by 2020. Within this particular objective, what we are stating is saying to ourselves as a US members, we want to actually make sure that our human resource allocation is optimized. And we are ensuring a change in how the web-then allocation is done, and that all our workforce allocation is done so by capability and capacity. And then because of this, whatever that the human capital investment we are making, we are going to return on this. If you can send to the next page, I want to succeed for 31.6. Here we are just saying that SAIDT would like to actually see that all the governance and practices are implemented through effective implementation of all bodies and resolutions. We try to make sure that whatever that we are doing, we are being efficient and we are doing that according to approved and adopted practice out there. So our statement is to ensure that the body is fulfilled, we discharge duties and make these through decisions and resolutions that are effectively implemented. I think the members can see that we are here, the body is supporting us, so we're trying to make sure that we are punching, but we are actually taking it out as we have the task to achieve. If we go to the strategic objective 1.7, we want to become a reputable organization through sound stakeholder relations and through the customer satisfaction by 2020. So we are saying we want to actually make sure that our partners partners of mobile CITP. We want to improve our internal and external brand awareness. We want to make sure that the customer understands the role of the CITP and the measures and intent of the CITP. And we want to make sure that we are being measured in how the CITP will respond to issues as well as the services that we are providing. So that this does not underline our reputation is leading, that the CITP is supported by. I think members, if they allow me here at this point, I'm going to pass over to my colleague who will take you from page 21, giving the presentation and the to the presentation.
How the entities will be implemented. I think corporations kind of take this as a driving engine of the CIDP industry. So all our programs are going to run through this particular operation. I think the members will ask the question, yes, we have been in the group for this long, but the main number of interventions, why now? Why what is it that you want to do differently? I think about change. The change in approach and how to be paid. And then that change, I think there are three things that I would like to mention that we are trying to have a change. The first thing is the influence. What is going to happen to make to the industry? And secondly, what are the developmental approach that we want to adopt to make sure that we are going to be able to drive the consumer strategy? And thirdly, the enforcement element. What is it that we have here that we try to enforce? And how effective we can try to enforce all these things between the core people that standard and efforts that we can put in place. So our whole approach can look into those particular aspects, how we're going to synchronize and align these our activities to talk to the person that we're actually putting in. And I think for the first part on regulation and application, we have tried to group that into three sub-programs which are actually called the functional areas. So that we can actually know exactly what is it that we want to do. We have regulatory framework compliance, which is about to increase compliance with the regulatory framework, by engineering projects and planning the local community to achieve high level of compliance. In order to achieve compliance, what we book as the starting is the monitoring element. I think for the past years, the monitoring element has done with kind of missing in terms of how we drive and compliance. And the second operational function that was the ethics registration. I think all of us will know that the ethics is all about registration. And in establishing, we need to make sure that we establish the risks that are not mandated to undertake, and also to make sure that how we maintain those risks that are supposed to be driving, so that they can actually inform how to be formed. And the third element of the functional area is provisional office. I think a point has been made on this one to say that CIT is about establishing footprints in all the provinces. So our provincial office is not going to talk about registration. It's supposed to be representing the CIDB as a whole. I think that any board member, and the honorable member, it is important to mention that CIDB is playing a critical role in regulating the construction sector. If we don't hold that together, CIDB might lose its actual focus. So we should actually take the point that that regulatory aspect has that forefront in terms of what we think that CIDB intends to drive. And then the second operational program that we have is development and capacitation. And also the development and capacitation, there are three sub-programs that we are looking at. The third one, which is conductor development, PSC recognition, and our strategic objective then to support risk management within the industry to ensure that by 2020, at least 5% of projects comply to contractor and client assessment rating. And again, there's already this D in CIDB, that what is it that CIDB is doing with D? I think this is all our effort now to say that the D needs to zoom in and focus exactly what is it that we need to do in terms of our strategy to go forward to make sure that we are having the input and impact from the thing that CIDB has to get in its logo. The second element of the functional area is development opportunities and support. With our strategic objective then to improve availability of developmental support to exceed 0.5% of the total construction cost in this particular capital formation by 2020. The CIDB has been seen as this entity that develops, recommend, and then dumps, of course, they dump to the clients of the contractor without making follow up to make sure that whatever we put there, we're able to monitor and see that what are the developmental approaches that we're putting in place so that they can actually, they both the clients and the contractors can buy into that. Model that CIDB is trying to put in place. And the third element of this particular development conversation is about construction development. By focusing on the construction development, by providing support of the labor and access to work space saving opportunities by 2020. We just hope and think that our vision and in terms of the team that the CIDB has been setting place, we'll be able to say that our developmental approach is going to be able to achieve through this particular functional area that we're putting in place. I think this is more or less the last one in terms of the functional program that we're putting in place, trying to bring forward to regroup them. The fourth one is industry performance and transformation. We are also again on this one, three strategic objectives that we want to achieve through this program. One, first area is construction industry monitoring and evaluation, and also the strategic objective and that is to monitor the growth and transformation of the construction industry to achieve transformation targets by 2020. And the second one, which is business and good enterprise services. Our strategic objective is to improve the capacity and competitiveness of the construction industry by 2020. And the last project, area of this is the financial and innovation. within the government framework, within government initiatives. So we take the principle we play into that space to make sure that we collaborate with other entities and also our business partners to make sure that we work in cities to identify what needs to be done by other stakeholders who are behaving in other responsibilities. I think, Chair, that's this approach that we are currently taking to say that what affects the impact that can be tend to be so that it becomes relevant in terms of driving our own strategy project. I think what that will Chair, not there.
Thanks, Chair, members of the presentation.
Honourable members, over to you, Honourable Adams.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to make a presentation. All over, I have done how. How do you get to there? The first one that I want to ask, I think it starts on the last page. It's very noble to say to facilitate accessibility to credit for contractors. How do you go to it? How can you do that? I know the partnerships, but we know what's going on in the construction industry. We have this mega construction in the first that only enriches themselves and forgets about small ones. So I'd like you to explain to me more how would you want to make credit for contractors as accessible. Then the other one is on the skills development. You know that skills are very important in the industry. But there's another entity that must work with you, and that is CBE. They have the skills, the knowledge. Are you in partnership with them? Will they help you to transfer these skills? What is your relationship with higher education with regard to the skills transfer? Then, Chairperson, they say they want to provide 4,000 learners with access to workplace learning opportunities. I'd like them to elaborate more on that. How long will it be? Are they going to transfer skills to their learners? How will they go about selecting their learners? It's noble of them to look at the youth because it's important. I might have wrong chosen. I never heard them talking. I would love to talk more about women and people with disabilities. Hey, Chairperson, on page 23, I've marked them. To support risk management within the industry to ensure that by 2020, at least 85% of projects comply to contractor and client performance ratings. Now, 2020 is 3 years from now. Where are you now? And can you break down for me how do you reach the 85%? Because it's a very high target. Then Chairperson, in your industry, there's a lot of collusion. How do you go about as board to curb this? And with regard to risk management, you say that you will facilitate enterprises and promote performance improvements and transformation in the industry. What kind of transformation? Is it the normal definition of transformation? You know, we are 23 years in a democracy, and there isn't enough transformation in this sector. And this is one of the main sectors that must create jobs. Do you think with this new, strategic annual performance plan, you will enhance job creation?
Thank you very much, Mahalo, for the share and effort. Mine is on slide number 21. To achieve 98% correlation of contract hours, so called levels of contractor or PFP identity. I wanted to check how registration is going to be done now in different countries. Because in most instances, it has been just anyone registered. Find that most of them are sitting at one and will be there for ages without moving. How is it going to be done? If I on slide number 15. I wish we had a baseline on that one also, because we only started on 2017-18. We don't have 2016-17 where we come from, so that we are able to compare the difference in those. Because if we have got a baseline, we are able to make sense of what is actually happening. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Adams?
In your mission and vision statement, you say your mission and your vision statement are reviewed. What informed the vision? And, you know, one can use words like inclusive. Who are you going to include? How are you going to get to that? Thank you, James.
Okay. CIDB, I think most of my questions have been captured here, but you know the fundamental one was what we have raised earlier on with IT. Because what happened in the construction industry, you play a very big role and part in it. So what happens then is that because we must grade contractors. Some of these contractors, their livelihood depends on what and how you are grading them. Because also the other thing is there is a certain margin that you have set for grade 9 or grade 8 contractors. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong. I stand to be corrected. But your typical grade 9 contractors, they need about 3 million rand to be graded to grade 9. That's what we have heard. You had a roadshow here with the CEO, the acting CEO at that time, Ms. Matros, what's her name? Benguia. And the chairperson at the Cape Town Lodge Hotel. Now most of those contractors there, they were complaining. They were really crying. Now the Western Cape was in previous years known as the construction varsity. Because there was a belief that if you come from the Western Cape, you either had to be a tradesman in the construction industry, bricklayer, painter, electrician, plasterer, carpenter, all those, tiler, and those type of things. But it's died down. It's died down. Well, I know you will say, but it's not your responsibility to revive it or something, but at least you can play a role in reviving that. You can play a role. I know you're going to put the blame to your partners here, CBE. You say, oh, that's their job to do that. But I think there is also a thing that you can do through the partnership with all the other industry role players to create more development and more bring more knowledge in terms of the construction industry. Because you see, you've got a lot of these chances also that's in the industry. Chances, I'm calling them fly-by-night chances that's in the industry. Now, how do you also see that those chances are not doing what they are doing and collapsing the buildings and using cheap materials and all that? But I'm more worried about the grading systems. As I've explained earlier on, construction, you can't grade like your tourism business council, your tourism grading council grades. I'm not running down the tourism grading council. But at least tomorrow you can go and buy a new bedding and everything, brand new TV, when you know that the tourism grading council inspectors are coming the following day. You can then kit out your B&B or what. But with construction, it's supposed to stand there for a lifespan of around about 30 years. So how do we ensure that there's upliftment from the ground up to the top? Over to you.
All right. Thanks, Chief. Challenge, however, is that with respect to the question that was also asked by the member, when we speak transformation, what form of transformation are we speaking? Now, there are two types of transformation in our world. There's one that is reformist, there's one that is revolutionary. When you are reformist, you are saying there's nothing wrong with this table. You just need to change the setting there and there, then it's going to be fine. Then. When you are revolutionary, you're saying, actually, this entire setup. Let's throw it all out and let's start afresh. What kind of a table should we actually have starting? The existing forms of contract that are currently endorsed and have been used in the construction industry are four. The JPCC, the GCC, FIDIC, and NEC. The contractual obligation and the structure in which how they structure the issues of access to finance is onerous up to a point where I know she might have a question.
No, no, it's fine. She's recording it.
If you have it.
No, she's recording it.
Is that they are onerous in the sense that the conditions by which access to credit were set have never really changed. that stay the same, by and large, within the codified forms of funding. Now, that has raised questions among the stakeholders and role players within the industry, and they have been asking a question: shouldn't there be a government contract that then starts to deal with the issue of access to credit differently than asking for some of the requirements that guarantee for upfront? That maybe the risk should be taken on by somebody else for you to achieve the purposes altogether. Because currently, for you to have a contract, I can award you it, you can be awarded a tender. But in that award of a tender, for you to be able to operationalize, you must honor guarantee obligations that are imposed by the force of contract. And that by its nature then necessitates you must go and open up credit facilities. And the current existing contracts do not create enough space for even other innovative engagements to an extent that you can say, don't worry about buying materials. I, as a client, I will buy materials. You just need to do the job because you've got a skills competency, as an example, which will then limit the requirement for you to go and access credit. But you don't have to have money upfront for you to buy credit in full for 30 days to hold and then go and claim it for another 30 days before you get paid, which by itself will necessitate at least 60 or 90 days in facilities. Now, it goes then to then ask, maybe this is where we will need guidance from the portfolio committee. What form should the CID be challenging in terms of the reform? Should, in terms of transformation in this space, should we be saying we're asking for reform, where we say we want to tinker with this particular form of contract? Or are we saying, should we be saying, let's look for totally new sets of contracts to drive that? But also linked then to this particular question, answering in part some of the other questions, is the issue that says, how do we see what transformation means? For us, that question has been answered by the contraction chart process, where they've codified what the sector as a collective have agreed, this is what transformation means. And we're using that as a marker. But the question then comes back again, the how. Do we throw out the contracts that we have and start new ones? Will that not be a clean-paper situation with greater certainty in this market, or do we go for reforms? We agree that we need to work through new mechanisms, but before we get there, we need to agree on the approach. Should it be revolutionary or should it be reformist? Then we'll have to say, what then do we include to change our strategies? That is the engagement that we're in currently. I can confidently say that 2 weeks ago, I met with the NURCHP,
we call it Nurture,
where we've agreed that they must make proposals on how we can start to structure other arrangements and what kind of contracts need to be in place to facilitate ease of access. Because they hold people's money in trust as banks, and they need to give the assurance to the people who are their depositors that when they invest in a physical classroom, a CEC construction, that physical CC contraction will be in a position to be able to pay back the money. But it requires the manner in which we contract to exchange the risk and obligations if when we go and ask SMEs. That is number one. Now, in answering the how, I'm exploring options with the team, NUC, NURC,
NHL.
Excuse me, I'm still doing this role, so I'm too familiarizing myself with the various entities that are available. But the challenge we have with Nurture is that it's operating currently within the residential sector of the construction market. Ours is trying to see how we find new mechanisms to expand their facilities to be able to operate in the non-residential component of the construction industry. I think that is number one. Then the following question was the one that wanted to deal, not wanted to, but asking the question of peers. And it's all premises. Tell us the how, and are we working in partnership with the CDC, and what is the relationship? Portfolio committee members and chair, I would like to remind the committee of the skills pipeline that was developed in 2009 for the built environment, which was based on empirical research that studied the supply and the demand. And I wouldn't want to speak on behalf of the CDC, and if you allow them, they can have the opportunity to speak to it. But the important thing that links to why we focus on particular targets of 4,000 is that when you look at the skills pipeline in terms of these four components as the way of conceptualized, there's a pre-tertiary stage, which is high school in essence, the interventions that are required in that strategy. Then there is a tertiary phase when people are in institutions of higher learning. And then there's a candidacy phase when people are qualified but before they actually register. And then the last phase, which is post registration. What that particular research and strategy confirmed was that the weakest point of that skills pipeline is the candidacy phase, which is speaking to a workplace placement and training. What is happening in the sector, whether you are studying a building environment profession or you are going to be an artisan, there is no programmatized program that takes a person who's qualified and places them in a place of work when they can get experiential training that will confer they don't only understand the theory, they actually now actually be certified, they can actually practice the theory that they for their experience. So the working together first thing is that we say within the skills pipeline proposal that was made by CDB, the CIDB is going to take up on its own that we're going to own part of this problem and we're going to participate in it. In respect of the Department of Higher Education and Training, the developmental indicators of the country which are kept in the presidency, the one that is dealing with skills development, is very clear about the targets that the country wants to achieve in terms of people who must graduate on an annual basis coming from the science, engineering, and technology sector, whether they're professionals or whether they're artists using their FDT colleges. So this strategy is also linked up to that program that has been set up by the Department of Education and Training. But how is the CIDB going to use it in the context of its own mandate in terms of this empowerment? The register of projects, which is one of the registers that the Act asks us to operationalize, is the vehicle that we're going to be using to be able then to fund and also to scale up the number of individuals to take up the skill in terms of getting workplace placement so that they can get the experiential training that they require in the current human have. We have, I just want my executives to assist me. Under the Register of Projects, there's been the best practice scheme for the Register of Projects, which has already been assented to by MINMEC, which all the public sector departments have accepted as a provision in the national, which means that from the, is it the end of the start of the international year, excuse me, in terms of the collection of the approval is that during the year 2018 and 19, the first tranches of money that are going to start to arrive from that particular standard that has been accepted and has been approved by the board have also been. What it means is that for every project that is awarded by the public sector, a particular percentage, I think it's 0.05% of any project is going to be repatriated back to the CIDB, and CIDB is going to use that money to train the actual artisans terms of workplace placement to get experiential training. In fact, the target of 4,000 is very modest. If you start to look at the numbers of projects and the value of projects, we think we can do much more, but you need to start somewhere. So that's where we're going to interact in terms of the skills. And also, I'm looking to you, Honorable Member, because you asked a question. Just maybe a quick recap. We are working through the CBE because they developed the strategy for the skills pipeline, and we've linked our proposal. And as a vehicle that we will be using in terms of our mandate to register our project, there's an approved standard and scheme which will take 0.15% from every contract awarded from 2018 onwards, which we will use then to fund the skills placement for the potential training. I'm looking out for the question of provision. I'm going to leave it to you, Mr. George. Then I'm taking over to the question of transformation. I already answered it in part, but I want to repeat it. The kind of transformation all of the members that we're looking at is the one that has been defined by the construction chart, which is the sector agreement of what the future of transformation should look like for the sector to say a transformation. So we're using that as our yardstick. they do achieve these targets, for example, in the area of management control, then we can say that energy transport, and it will split into B equals M1 equals when you do what the sectors are three can sit down and as ready to decide. But I think the fundamental question that we were asking is what kind of transformation are we talking about? The challenge we I'm raising from the CITB for guidance from the group committee is that what kind of transformation should we actually pursue ourselves? Well, in my language, there's two forms of transformation. It can either be reformist. We were saying we want to reform the setup of the national system, just like we changed that idea there. Or we can say it's revolutionary. We were saying there's actually everything wrong with this particular setup. Let's start it from scratch. Let's dismantle all this particular direction and start from scratch. But I think it's already been managed at the other point of making in that particular example. Then, the other sub-question that follows underneath that was to say, will this actually enhance job creation? I think my response to that then is that if we manage to get the construction sector to the desired level of maturity, where there is certainty, you're going to get a situation that construction companies are going to start to invest in their own human capital when there is certainty in respect of what projects are going to come. And the standards that the CITB has also been producing is to say, how do we guide clients who are buyers of goods to prepare the market by being able to provide information well in advance, in good time, to enable investors to be able to invest in good time, to be able to get human resources, to be ready for opportunities that are coming up. The challenge that we are having is similar to the one that ITT raised. In the clients get budget in a financial year, and then once they get budget in a financial year, then they say, let's have a project without going through the planning process. What we have not done in this sector yet, which is some of the things we want to promote to create, to ensure that job creation is a resultant byproduct of it, is that the MTF planning framework for finance was never intended only to be for the financial sector, where you can see that over the next coming 4 years, here is what the financial outlook of the country is going to look like, and budgets are going to look like, so you can have a perspective of whether it's sustainable. All the infrastructure departments have not inherited, taken that and incorporated it in terms of infrastructure planning, which is why the IDMS was being developed. To say your planning cycle actually starts 3 years in advance before you can do any sort of training or let any space hit. What then that seeks to do is that when we get budget votes in some future date, because it's still not institutionalized, is that infrastructure departments should be able, like the financial MTA, be able to say over the next 3 years, here are the project tenders that we're going to be putting out. Because when you do that, you allow construction companies to be able to invest well in advance in time to deploy people. So it will be a result of a certainty in the market to enable job creation to happen in a much more sustainable manner. And it will also address the issue of casualization of labor. Because of the uncertainty, it becomes risky for companies to employ people on a permanent basis or at least 5 year contract. Then what they engage in is casualization, where they employ you just for the job, and then they let you go after that. But they have no certainty or no indication of knowing how we're going to get jobs going forward. Then the other question that then followed was the question of our registration. How differently are we going to do registration? The strategy has been recently approved as of last year. We are taking as management a discussion document to our regulation and registration committee that starts to unpack this question of saying how do we intend to increase it, how do we intend to do registration differently, and also to foster transformation in it. The data that we have in respect of the register is telling us a number of things. One, when you look in a particular grade, whether it's grade 2, grade 8, grade 9, grade 5, whatever grade that you're looking at, there are numbers of classes within that particular grade in terms of the quarters or so those are classes of work like mechanical work, electrical work, light systems, etc. What we find when we look into that, the presence women and also of black Africans is minimal, up to a point where it's close to nil. So one of the strategies we want to employ going forward as part of the discussions that we want to take to the IRC is that we want not only to push for upward mobility, upward in the grade, because there seems to be a fixation of moving from grade 2 to grade 3, 4, or 5 at the level, whilst people are leaving out all the other classes of work. Why do we say these other classes of work are important? Is that when you generally look to at any building for that matter, whether it's a shopping mall, let me use a shopping mall as an example, you will find when you break up the envelope of that infrastructure in terms of what makes up that infrastructure, about 40% of the values of those contracts will go to mechanical work, electrical work, and licenses. But then the challenge is that when you look and say, where are the Africans and where are the women, they are generally in the circle classes of work and general growth. But what that then has created is that the rest that I've mentioned, they are not seen at all. They then create a saturated space for competition, where they make it cutthroat and it becomes no longer profitable for them to compete in one class of work, in those classes of work. So we want to promote their expansion and scaling up in electrical works, mechanical works, and licenses, because they are missing out close to 50% of the value of work that is going out in terms of tenants. So that is the one element we want to advance in terms of the horizontal movement within each grade, which creates more markets for the African-owned and women-owned entities, because they space there and they are not aware of it. The aspects that are dealing with the vertical movement, whether you're moving up the grade or not. One of the things that we're currently looking at the standards we're going to be taking to the board to consider for them to look at its efficacy is the issue around, I'm sure we're all aware of this one because all of us can pay tax, is a concept of bracket creep. What has happened is that CIDB has not consistently adjusted the value of each grade. When I say consistency, inflation is measured on an annual basis. Therefore, it means our grade levels should be adjusted on an annual basis. They have not been adjusted on an annual basis, which then means you then get the effect of bracket creep that you get in tax. What is the net effect of it? The net effect of it is that the guys at the top, when I say the top, allow me to say anybody, let's say from grade 6 moving upwards to grade 9, they don't complain. Because of bracket creep, more work is being channeled to the upper echelons of the grade, and it means there's less work available for everybody at the lower of the grade, which is why all the lower end graded contractors have been complaining bitterly. It's because work has been shrinking as a result of CIDB not adjusting the grades on an annual basis. So I've asked for a process where the head of the registers must go and do a recalculation, a rebasing calculation. The similar rebase that was done by Nigeria to rebase the economy was the last visit in 1990, up until the last time they did it. So I've asked them to engage FSA to do rebasing so that we can readjust those figures, which will then correct realign the grade and make sure everybody's got an equal share and an opportunity in every grade to be able to participate in a tenure. So those are the two interventions that we're looking at in terms of changing the registration at a horizontal and also at a vertical level so that we can bring normality in the system.
So, sorry, just based on that, so you are saying there is not a review of grading annually.
The question you correct. Is that it was not in fact annually, that is factual. The CIDB has not been adjusting according to inflation, and the one for construction is the construction PPI to say what was the inflation in construction. Let's say for an example, a particular grade top was 300,000. It should be every year in line with PPI be adjusted so that 300,000 becomes 330 in line with inflation. But it's not been happening is that I think the last time it was done was 2007. What am I correct? 2008. Now you can imagine 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16,
that is 9 years. PPI has been running on average double digit. So you can already say 10 times 9 without compounding the compounding that interest. That means a 300,000 rand mark should have been now close to 560,000. So you can see what the end of bracket has done. It's shrinking the market and making people compete for smaller and smaller and smaller space. So that is one of the things we want to correct and replace and take to the board.
So you can give us a commitment as a portfolio committee that you will do that.
Chair, the commitment I can give you as an acting CEO who has a stewardship, who's stewarding this organization, that I'm going to ask the board to do that replacement.
Well, you can give the commitment. The board members are here.
Some of them are stupid themselves, Chair. I'm taking the preservation of governance. As the executive, I'm going to take the proposal. My manager is already working on it. I'm giving him instructions to say, please work on this replacement. Take it to the IRC for their response and to the board. Whether or not the board will assent to that adjustment or not is not something I can give that guarantee for. But that is a perspective that management has in for the CIEB to take to the board. We want to attend to the issues of registration so that we can fix the anomalies that are there.
Well, based on what you are saying, if you can do that, it will alleviate and it will bring some light in the tunnel, specifically for your small. Created companies. So that's why the board are here. Here's some of the board members. And when they appear next time before us, we want to hear it being done. There's no excuse for it not being done. Because as I've said previously to the other entities also, we are all here to, for one common purpose, is to make the life of South Africans better, that is not better. And to improve the life of South Africans that has not been improved. And to make South Africa a better place to live in, to work in, to sleep in, to play in, and to enjoy. So if it can make the life of your contractors better, please, you've got the support of this committee to go ahead with it. If not, the board must come and answer to us. Why not? I see you are young, you are innovative, you are full of energy, so that is what we need. And that energy needs to be turned into action. There the board, the member is nodding, so he's in agreement. So you don't have a problem, take it to the board. It's a good positive thing that you are bringing to the table. Because members, I don't know if you agree with me, it's the first positive sign of CIDB, except the road shows that they have done. So it's a very good positive sign that you are making and we are starting to talk the right language in terms of, and in our 3 years now in the committee, 2.5 years, is the positive thing that has come out from CIDB to say we can definitely look at how to accommodate the registration of contractors and the training of contractors. Sorry, man, I was so excited about your comment.
To finish off answering that particular question, there's a third leg to it, dealing with the question of grade one. The point has been made by honorable members that there seems to be so many within the region. CIPB has relationships with FET colleges, and we want to activate those FET colleges, but for what particular purpose? In any market, there are inherent market barriers. I'd like to make an example of saying, if Medvedev decides he's going to be a street vendor and he's going to sell fruits and everything on the side of the street, the market barriers will need to be able to enter that market. I must firstly know where is the food market I'm going to buy my stuff from, because if I don't know that, I can't source my fruits. I must first of all, secondly, also have the knowledge of where am I going to sell this particular food so that I can make thirdly, I must have some level of competence or acumen to run a business to say, when I get that money, it's not all for me. Some of it is to grow the credit stock, a portion of it must pay my own salary, and a portion of it for profit in terms of business competence. Now, to that effect, there are also market barriers that are explicit in the market in terms of construction. For you to be able to be in the construction game,
you must have some, at least minimum, a form of a trade. Either you are a painter, either you are a tracer, either you are a bricklayer. You need at least that minimum of competency for which you can enter the space. Because then, who's going to hire you? How would you hire you if you just been painting for 1 week in my house if you don't know how to paint or you cannot demonstrate to me that you're actually able to paint? So, one of the things we also will be proposing is to say, we won't go out there and say we want to set up barriers of entry for people to come in at grade level, at grade one. What we will say when you come and apply, so that we deliver value for manufacturing, because about a third of our income revenue in terms of our budget is actually coming from grade one. So we've taken a principal decision to say we must do development for them so we can increase their capacity so they can perform again. Now, what we want to do is when people come in patients, not as a barrier of entry, but to ask them questions and get direct them approach, is to say, do you have a competency at a minimum level, a form of a trade? That becomes the first question to deal with the trade competency. If you do not, we are going to offer a program. We obviously it will be limited by the numbers of students we get in all the FET colleges we have partnerships with. And I think this is also answering the question of saying, what is our role? What are we doing? I think for us, by you, Chair, in terms of revitalizing the trades in terms of technical. We already have an agreement with at least one technical college in every province in the country. Limited by that and also the cost of those particular programs, we want to use the revenue that we are making from grade one, which is also adopted, we want to adopt a principle and want to sponsor to the board, that every grade must get a service and a product from the CITP that is consistent with the revenue generated in that grade. Because grade one generates about a third, which means we're certificate then subsidizing the other grade. So we want to bring parity in terms of services we're offering. Now once you've told us whether you have a skill or don't have a skill of some sort, if you have a skill, you will go in a particular grouping of people in our region. If you do not have a skill, we then will commit to put you in a program, obviously within the limited available capacity of seats in technical, to give you a skill that is consistent with the class of work you want to register for. And that is a program we want to introduce. So that is one part of the level of intervention we want to do. Now it will contribute in two parts. It will contribute in reskilling our artisans, and also contribute in saying we will then be able to say what is the maturity level of our entire region, not just 2 to 9, 1 to 9. So we can have a sense of whether or not we're developing the construction sector or not developing it in the right direction. Then the second layer of the question of registration we want to introduce, do you have business competency? Basically the competency of being able to run business without piercing the corporate veil. Because we have no business in telling you how to run your business. That is your own property. But at least let's give certainty to the market, especially the buyers of these goods that are sold by the contractors of the CITP that are registered, that these people we have in our register have at least a business competency and also a built environment competency to be able to function properly. We exist precisely for that reason, that we are able to provide a macro risk management. So that the client says, when I go to the register and I find a contractor, I've got a certain level of assurance that the people I'm getting have business acumen and both environment skill competence to be able to function. So that's the other layer we want to introduce, so that we don't leave it to a situation where it happens by chance that you will move from grade one to grade two. Development has to be a deliberate action. These are some of the deliberate interventions we want to introduce to respond to the question of development. If there's anything left, I'll ask the committees to assist me, but I'm going to give over to the CFO to answer the question and also to Sifuni for a conclusion, and then I will leave the board members to answer the issue of the vision.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. Honourable members, yes, it is the entire before we should just revise our structure. each year, that over the past 4 years, starting from 2013-14, to say how much of our budget, so that we can to see the growth of our budget was, start by what new progress now with the new strategy. In 2013-14, which was the numbers, our budget was 37,453. And in 2015, also audited financial figures, our budget was 151 million. In 2015-16, also audited, our budget was 150 million. And in 2017, our budget came slightly reduced to about 144 million. And the reason why we had that huge reduction in the particular year in 2017 on the federal was because of the cut of cost contained by the country, and where they cut almost 15 billion from our fiscal budget. So, but the number that we actually provide, we should but not directly talk to the programs. We need to talk to the programs where it's existing in that particular year.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I would like to start by saying that this document that we have presented to the committee, it's a new strategy going forward, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't take into account the strategy document that was developed in 2015 for the 5-year project. So it's an ongoing process. And I've certainly indicated that some of the work that has been done, in the legislation is done by the agency, but we don't have any baseline. We don't have any indication of where are we. Now I want to set the bar to say that this is where we are at the starting point and how we want to get to a certain level of maturity. So that we can say, that guideline, even though indicating where we're coming from and where we are going, so that we can be able to put the table in that particular thing. And secondly, Chair, the issue of about the risk, it is important to mention that, Chair, that CITB is managing the risk on behalf of government. So in managing the risk on behalf of government, we need to have a certain report that generates exactly the quality of the information that we're putting on our database, so that we can verify that the information that is there is accurate and correct. So the target of 98% is the target that we want to set ourselves to say that managing the risk on behalf of government, but making sure that the information that is there on the register is credible. Now, on the issue of corruption, I've mentioned the point, Chair, that maintaining relationship with our partners is very critical. And on corruption, I think it has put us on the map. And in putting us on the map, we have to maintain some sort of momentum. And we've established a relationship with the Competition Commission. And the Competition Commission has already done a study of how are some of the factors that led to corruption. So we're in the process of doing a study and reviewing the information that they've given us, so that we can take some lessons and see how we're going to be able to improve our processes internally and how we're going to manage it so that corruption is going to be a thing of the past.
Thank you, Chairman. I would like us to inform members that when we were reviewing this element of strategic planning, the board of directors of the CIDP and management worked together. We went out on workshops and we went actively together. We also obtained input from staff in all the provinces to inform also that. And afterwards, we then cascaded all the outcomes to all the staff and was a big function, so as to ensure that we achieve buy-in, but also support for the process and whatever is entailed in this. So when Honorable Member Lindley said to review the vision, we found that, for example, the city.
But to also find that because of collusion that was done in the industry, decidedly has been monitoring that space and decidedly has been engaging effectively regulating that space, we would then have seen some of this, had any warnings, and had even looked at what intervention needs to be developed oppositely together with our partners. So, honorable members, the review then of the mission and mission are interesting because the vision would be what to be at the stage the CIPB being and achieving in the South African society. And then the vision would be how are we going to do that. So, we found that we would not be very effective and efficient in our legislative function. In many cases where we are supposed to be leading and taking an active role in planning the school and tightening the state, we seem to be sitting on the sidelines. And in the majority of cases, in fact, we even seem to be oppressing the smaller contractors and the smaller men, when we're supposed to be seen as developing them and helping them to grow. So, and that's why then we're saying here, through strategic intervention, we regulate and develop the contract industry level through strategic intervention and partnership. Because what we also found, honorable members, that in the majority of cases, CIDB tended to want to work alone. And you have seen as trying to do everything and not even doing what we are mandated to do in terms of the law effectively and efficiently. So that's why you have now commented that even between stakeholder relationship and partnership, because we're saying we need now to start to work together more effectively with our partners and stakeholders and the state. And these are the issues that the acting CEO and the acting head of operations are referring to. Because we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We don't need to want to do everything in the pipeline when there are many other players, some of them more effective than what we can do. We also look at what our role should be in lobbying and taking a very robust and advocacy role, engaging our clients at various scales of government, for example, at national level, in provincial level, and in municipalities. When we talk about 80% of infrastructure spend being targeted for smaller contractors, what role then CIPB should play in ensuring that this happens? So rather than just standing on the sidelines and monitoring figures when we come through our projects and tender awards, we need to be out there actively engaging client departments, actively ensuring that they do what government wants to be done, and actively ensuring that also they adhere to the standards to the script. And if you look also subscribe to the department's social economic impact assessment. And what is important is that more than the community ensure that now anything that is submitted to the board is literally interrogated so that it's not just a tick box mechanism, because I know that our shareholders and the incumbent of the working society expect to see change happening, and this is not just an academic exercise or business as usual policy identity. And also in that regard, we have taken the position that, as we said, we need to actively participate in the development of contractors, and not just develop frameworks and tick a box to enforce our the NCDP and also the National Contractors Development Program, but we need to spend money, and this is the issue that the agency always is asked to actually ensure that we leave that legacy and we leave that footprint and we have concrete achievable where we see a fair and we see. So what I want to say is I will hand over to the board members as well so that if they have any other input to make.
Good afternoon, Chair and honourable members. I think my colleague had covered most of the things I was going to say. But I think it's imperative that one thing that we have never spoken about was the coming into this world, we realized that the act itself was very limited. So we were expected to operate and to make decisions on a document that was more than 10 years without any review. That is the first thing. And we have put a task team, the previous speaker is one of the person, one of the people that is actually in that committee. That is now concluded the review, or perhaps one is to say that right at the end of looking at that act. If you take, Chairperson, and if you want me to raise or indulge you, if you take, for instance, and ask yourself as to who wrote that, who participated in making inputs in that particular act, it's the usual suspects, because there was very, very few, if not any, of black members in the investment sector that participated in that. The second thing that we also, looked at that act was if, for instance, in this collision, how perhaps some of these contractors were very adamant that it's nothing. And we looked at the act, we found that if you have polluted or you have breached, then you pay 100,000, which for them is peanuts. Mm. It's money they spend a day at a bar, and it's really, it's changed for them. But we did sort of, by looking at the act, see something that they never liked. What they never liked was to tarnish the bread. When you blacklist, and then they came back running back to the table wanting to talk because of that. So the next thing that I'm going to point out is that we now interrogated the B in the CID. And I think this is both where it alluded to that the fact that the B is in a different color. Why was this B in a different color? It never meant destruction. Men's development. So most of the problems that have been mentioned here, I'm glad that the CEO is ever a thinking and ever a learning person, and has actually come up with some of the solutions to this. To say, for instance, I mean, if you look at downgrading with the economic scales changing every day, now we're doing well, now we're doing better. very badly, and then the CIDB was to then, if the contractor is not working for a year or for 2 years, that contractor was going to be downgraded. We now looked into that and said that this doesn't work for development and for the small islands, because that is where it was heading most. And we checked that out in the way that it was delivered today. And those are the sort of things that are saying, you know, we've gone into this, we've looked at this, and I think from now onwards, if the CIDB is going to be having an impact in the industry, and I think that the board is quite excited that we're moving, and that we're moving in the right direction. This only exercise was necessary. It was also one that was highlighted, and that we sort of thought that do we have the right people, you know, in specific positions. And we looked at that, and hence the macro and the micro the structures are talking to that. I think at this point I will give my colleague a chance to say something as well. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair. As you can see, I think the management, the boards, they are in sync. The shareholder, the expectations of the portfolio committee, the nation at large, expectations, and the big, huge responsibility placed upon the CAG taking place here. And I think the greatest credit must go to the board. Current boards to actually come to the conclusion of doing complete overhaul of the strategy of the CAB. And that followed that 10-year review, which was conducted and revealed some serious concerning issues and the practicalities out there that are experienced by construction contractors themselves. So I think, without really elaborating any further, I would like to say that that's the unfortunate part, you know, when you find, the board, comes to the end of the term when they deliver a sound strategy like this. And then there comes the reinvention of the wheel. You go out and completely appoint new people and there is no continuity and they come and change everything. You know, it's all like consumers money and who suffers at the end of the day. Economy of the country is a construction contractor industry. So, as the custodians of government, you really have to be considering as well when that time comes to ensure that there is continuity in this organization. A transformed construction industry that is inclusive, ethical, and contributes to a prosperous Africa and the world is very critical. What you do for the development of the construction industry, there's a lot of proposals that will be coming through and that we are thinking through. Because some of the things is, how do you cater? I think what honorable member here talked about access to markets. How do you ensure that, all these numerous companies that are registered in US, for grading of the CAB, get access to markets? Because, you want to be associated with an entity at the end of the day. That will ensure that your business becomes sustainable. We know that we are making strides. Of course, if you look at the regulation that has come through of the set aside for 30% that must be allocated. And that should be mandatory. And I'm sure CADP will be applying its mind on how we come up with a practice note for the construction industry to ensure that that doesn't become, if possible or if feasible, it becomes a must that allocation is done to emerging contractors. And again, Chair, one other thing that I would like to emphasize, when you look at the grade of this company, is what gives them access sometimes to market. But you don't declare, it's not something where you declare the contracts that are already in your portfolio, which at the end of the day might exceed your limit and your capacity. So you find people over-concentrating or monopolizing the construction industry at the expense of others. How, as a regulator, you come up with regulating that oversight to ensure that there is equitable distribution of wealth? And that is very, very fundamental. And And I think we'll be coming. We know that these things are being discussed at the board level. But, you know, management has got to come up with a proposal. Because at the end of the day, as a board, we give direction. Proposals come from the management for approval before implementation. And I'm sure the executive is quite cognizant of this demand by the board to actually ensure that we become fair and we ensure that construction industry thrives in this country and there is access to work.
Chair, I think there's something that I left out, just a request, just finding that, you know, we all having great presentations here, sounds the scheme, is that we all PWP or public works agencies, so if the others leave, it's not a good showcase of partnerships, because if we were, I mean, it's unfair for you guys to sit as honorable members to sit here the whole day, and we have agencies of under public works leaving every time they've done it. We all come from far jobs and whatever areas. I'm just thinking that for us to showcase that there is partnership, because there was a question that was asked by one member to say that, do you partner? You talk to each other. It would be nice if the other members were here to prove grievance. But at the moment, it's us that when we're sitting here, we listen to members talking about the CIDP every now and then. It was good. We like it. But we're not talking about this project. So it's a request that in the next maybe to convene this type of meeting, let everybody sit in the session so that we can talk, not in silo. Way of doing things, but we all public agencies. Thank you.
No, we take that. We'll definitely follow that up, also DPW. Please. No, I think the member, if you've got anything to add? Nothing. Now, let me thank you, CIDP. Executive members as well as the board members. I think you have now come to your own and say that that you want to reform the construction industry. And we are very happy. 3 years, the best news we've got from CID, this committee. And we want to wish you well on that journey and on that path. And remember, don't look at us as the enemies. It's a partnership. We are in partnership. If there's anything that we can be of assistance, don't hesitate to call on us. We've got the oversight over the department and over you. So where we can correct and assist each other, but we've got one objective and goal in mind, is to create a better South Africa. Not for us, but for our future generations that are still to come. We have to look at them as well. If I can ask CEO, if it's possible, if you can perhaps let the committee secretary or the secretariat get some of your review or share some of your review things with us. It will also greatly assist us in our oversight as well. But it's good news, and I hope that the best is still to come, we say, and we're looking forward for the best that we will deliver, and South African construction industry also looking forward for the best that we can deliver. So it's good news. We feel good about what we hear today. And that last request of the partners, yeah, it was an oversight. We should have asked them to stay behind and not change their flights to earlier flights. CBE has changed their flight to late flights. So they could have all done the same to you. Thank you very much. God bless and safe travels. And CBE will be our last partner. I think members, while CBE is setting up, let's quickly grab a cup of coffee outside, tea, and come in so that we can thank our media guys also. All the best. Go well. Okay.
We should work towards that. There could be with this new program.
But you remember, we never had it.
For us so that I can be able to add.
Thank you. don't want to say at this point.
I didn't go to the meeting.
Standing in.
Oh, you're standing in?
Yeah.
None of me had, but I need your contact. There was no cheap classifuna or engage again. Or is a
move? Now, if you conduct us a laugh, I'm not going to go to drink or a laugh. I'm our nature.
Oh, our nature on Chetanga?
Hmm. I don't know. I don't know. I human settlements. Nature saw a reporter good.
That's not the way I do presentation.
To know about what we are really critical on ourselves. And Tina said, first articulate the problems and limitations in ourselves. As any band of a member of our body,
now in course, the problem.
Hey, Tina, Glenn, all attendees.
No, Kalundi, the way it has to be over is the body from the whole of the children who have to be.
Oh, yes,
Okay.
Do you know? Oh.
Here is the one for Ines.
Ladies and gentlemen, honorable members.
Oh, Ingus.
Some of us don't want to sleep here, although we leave that over, the sleeping over in Cape Town, over for you guys from Gauteng. So we want to get the show on the road with the CBD. And we thank the CIDD for showing the partnership and leading the way of showing solidarity with the partners. As I've said, we are in this together. So part of togetherness is to stay together. Thank you very much, CIDD, for that. CBE. The ball is yours, man.
Good afternoon, Chair, and the honorable members, and thank you for affording us this opportunity to come and present our strategic plan and the annual business plan for 2017. Chair, the VP is Mr. Christine Shambu. He is our CFO. He is going to help me with the presentation of the budget. The content of our presentation is we will look into the vision and mission of the CBE, our mandate, the legislative mandate, and the alignment of our progress with the National Development Plan, government and ministerial priorities. I will talk to the our strategic goals, and on the annual performance plan, I will talk to the updated situational analysis, the description of the strategic planning process, program output, and MTF financial resources for the CDE and our human resources. Chair, the vision of the CBE is an environment built to meet people's needs and aspirations. And our mission is to implement projects and programs that address built environment issues and add value to the built environment profession, government, and the general public. The mandate of the CBE is enshrined in our Council for the Built Environment Act, number 43 of 2000. Number one is to promote and protect the interests of the public in the built environment. It is also to promote and maintain a sustainable built environment and natural environment. Number three, it is to promote ongoing human resources development in the built environment. It is to facilitate participation by the built environment profession in integrated development in the context of national goals. It is to promote appropriate standards of health, safety, and environmental protection within the built environment. It is to promote sound governance of the built environment profession. It is to promote licensing in the field of training in the Republic and elsewhere, and to promote the standards of such training within the Republic. It is to serve as a forum where the environment profession can discuss relevant issues. And lastly, it is to ensure uniform application of norms and guidelines set by the professional council that report to the CBE throughout the built environment. The legislative mandates that you are operating within, number one is the Republic of South Africa is the Republic of South Africa Constitution of 1996. And we are also guided by the act of the 6 building environment protection council, which are architectural profession, landscape and architectural, landscape architectural professional engineering profession act, project and construction management, quantity surveying, and property value. So these are the 6 Urban Environment Professional Council that we oversee as the CBE. We are also governed by the Public Finance Management Act, Skills Development Act, Employment Equity, Consumer Protection, Construction Industry Development Board Act. I'm saying that CIDD is here because we are also governed by your act. Promotion of Access to Information Act, Minimum Information Security Standards, Occupational Health and Safety Act, National Treasury Regulation, and National Archives of South Africa Act. Our alignment to the National Development Plan is basically on Chapter 3 of the NDP and Chapter 9. Chapter 3 talks to the decent employment through inclusive economic growth. At CBT, that is where we collaborate with the Department of Public Works in terms of promoting expanded public works programs. It is under the National Development Plan priority. And then in Chapter 9, we look into improving education, training, and innovation. At CBT, we are mandated to ensure that there is continuous human development. Acting CEO of NDP, he mentioned the skills pipeline which was developed by the CBE. So we are still using the skills pipeline in terms of intervention to make sure that we develop skills within the built environment, but also in terms of making sure that there is transformation within the built environment. We align our work to the minister's priorities, which is number one, the outcome 5, which is in the National Development Plan, where we look at the skilled and capable workforce to support an inclusive growth path, the transformation in the construction sector, building the state capacity within the built environment professional. Chair, if you look, there are overlaps between the CBE and the CIDD, but we are trying to make sure that we work together so that we don't duplicate our program, but we support each other. CBE has 5 strategy goals. The first one is to provide support to CBE, thus contributing directly to and indirectly to the delivery of all strategic outcome-oriented goals of the CBE. And goal 2, it is a transformed built environment with adequate skills and competences responsive to the country's infrastructure delivery operation and maintenance needs. Goal 3, an optimally functioning built environment with a responsive and relevant policy and legislative framework based on informed and researched position. Goal 4 is a built environment profession that operates within a regulated policy and legislative framework. And then lastly, it's a built environment that is responsive to the developmental and economic priorities of the government. I'll quickly go to the content of our APP. When we prepared our APP, we updated situational analysis. Infrastructure is broadly categorized into 2 areas, which is social. The social it talks to education, health, and the community facilities. I think that is the responsibility of IDP. And we also look into economic infrastructure, we talk to networks, for delivery, which includes transport, power, and water. So when we look at our situational analysis, we firstly look into the budget allocation. So in 2016, the budget which allocated 879 billion to be invested in public infrastructure. Energy was allocated 70 billion on 2016 and 108 billion over the next 3 years, which is from 2017 to 2019. An amount of 292 billion was allocated for transport and logistic infrastructure over the next 3 years. Housing subsidy programs were allocated 62 billion. 28 billion was allocated for improving health facilities, and 64 billion was allocated for education infrastructure. Perhaps you wonder why I'm alluding to these figures. This is key to us. It is important because it shows that there is a lot of investment that the government is planning to do to make sure that we improve our infrastructure. But the challenge remains with the supply of fuel within the built environment. Because it means for us to be able to deliver on this mandate, for us to be able to spend this budget, we must have a skilled and competent labor. So if we do not have that kind of a skill, it will be difficult for us to spend on this money. We find that these monies will go back to national treasury. So as CBE, and we are mandated to make sure that there is skills development within the built environment. This is key to us. We have to make sure that we support all skills development initiatives so that as a nation we are able to deliver on this investment. The Presidential Infrastructure Coordinating Commission, which is PICC, coordinates the planning and implementation of strategic infrastructure projects, which is known as SIPs, with the purpose of unlocking economic opportunities in all 9 provinces. Our minister, the Minister of Public Works, has been tasked to coordinate the capacitation of the state under this commission. So as CBE, our role is to support the capacitation of the state through the Minister of Public Works. So this kind of budget for infrastructure projects demand competent built environment professionals who are able to drive massive development and in a competent way, in a competent manner. The CBE facilitates the participation of registered professionals in terms of delivering various programs. The CBE, as an entity, we do not deliver projects, but we work hand in hand with the entities, we work hand in hand with the voluntary associations who are mandated to deliver on these programs. So it is important for us as CBE to then facilitate and coordinate and establish partnerships with the BEPCs and BBAs so that we are able to deliver on the infrastructure projects that are the mandate of the Department of Public Works. Why we are celebrating the budget that is allocated for infrastructure development, there are also challenges within the industry. The poor economic growth has a negative impact on the growth in the construction industry. One of the examples, the way we had the labor actions in 2015, this had a negative impact in terms of making sure that the companies, the industry deliver on the project at hand. This has a negative impact in our own program. The example is the placement of interns. For interns to be able to be exposed to workplaces, they need industry. They need companies that are functional. So this had a negative impact in one of our programs. it also has a negative impact in terms of supporting the candidate program, because candidates must be exposed to work employment. Collaboration with government departments to fast-track registration of candidates by introducing CBE structured work-based training framework has been our focus in the past few years. We have done that by collaborating currently with the Department of Public Works, but we have also worked with other industries to make sure that we capacitate the state. We have had partnerships with MINSA to make sure that we engage with municipalities in terms of supporting the capacitation of the state. So the youth and government practitioners need to be equipped with relevant skills such as labor-intensive techniques to facilitate the implementation of public employment programs such as public work programs. CBE is also through our skills pipeline. We are involved with making sure that we improve the quality of life and science in basic education. Again, CBE alone cannot made an impact in the Department of Education. So as a result, we also try to forge partnerships so that we are able to increase our footprint in the nation. Initiatives to attract built environment practitioners towards registration and to sustain their registration by engaging Competition Commission on the issue of identification of work. This has been our initiative again, I think since as far as 2012, we've been engaged in Competition Commission. The reason for that is that we need to reinvent the work for the registered professionals to protect the public. One of our mandates as CBE is to protect the public, and we cannot do this if we allow every Tom, Dick, and Harry to practice within the industry. But Competition Commission rejected our application for the identification of work. I think Chair will be presenting this to the portfolio committee. But I'm glad to mention that Competition Commission has written to us and they have agreed that we can come together, we can start and we can reapply for the exemption for the identification of work. So that is a good way of starting 2017-18 financial year. One of the areas that SCPE are focusing on to stabilize the organization is the recruitment of the CEO. Training has taken, I think, almost 2 years, but we have asked for the position of the CEO. The closing date was last week on the 28th of April. So we are going to work together with the Department of Public Works in terms of the selection process and the interviewing of the CEO. So when I talk to the strategy planning process, as CBE, we took cognizance of the State of the Nation address of 2016. Chair, unfortunately, we cannot incorporate the 2017 SONA because our submission for the APT is on the 31st of January. So we normally use the previous year's State of the Nation address. So the focus or the priorities of SONA 2016 were to resolve energy challenges, grow the ocean economy, and provide water, sanitation, and transport infrastructure. This chair requires skilled human capital, which is accountable to government priorities. And CBE, through working and supporting the Built Environment Professional Council and their BA, works to ensure that there is a skilled and competent workforce within the built environment to support public works to deliver on its infrastructural delivery mandate. When we prepared our APT, we also considered the Minister's the minister's updated policy statement, his focus was on strengthening the collaboration within government departments. I think I mentioned that one of his tasks by the PIPC was to capacitate the state. And it is difficult to do that if you don't have the collaboration with other departments and entities. Our council had a strategy planning session last May 2016. We looked into our vision and mission. We looked into our strategic goals. For now, the vision and the mission have not changed, but we don't know when we have our new council, which will be elected or nominated next year. In 2018 July, but currently we maintain our vision and the mission. The CBE contributes to outcome 4, 5, 6, and 12. Chair did not write this down, but these are contained in our APP document. The DEP is an important contributor to the development priorities of the state. Contributes to outcome 14 of the government. This speaks to the transformation of the built environment. We have five programs. Program one is administration. Program two is skills for infrastructure delivery. Program three is built environment research, information and advisory. Program four is regulation and oversight of the CBEPC. Program five is government policies and priorities. In our program one, our focus is the administrative function of the CBE. We believe that for us to be able to deliver on our mandate, especially the mandate of promoting and coordinating within the built environment, it is important for us to have a functional IT. We've been, as CDE, we've been having challenges with our IT, but we have set aside the budget, and through the national treasury, we were able to source funds. So we'll be able then to strengthen our ICT governance. We will be able to implement our ICT plan by March 2018. And as CDE, we've been having unqualified audits, but going forward, we want to have an unqualified audit report with no material financial findings. So these are our targets under Program 1. Program 2, the strategic objective of Program 2 is to drive and facilitate skills development and transformation within the built environment. Additionally to this program, will also translate knowledge generated from its pilot project. The pilot projects are our math and science program, the intern program, and the candidacy program. So we'll be able then to generate the knowledge out of these programs so that we develop action plans and be able to roll out within the national scale. So the initiatives of this program, the first one is that our target is two categories of high demand professions, implementation plans developed in support of landscape architects and property builder professionals for the SIPS program. The Department of Higher Education and Training, they are the custodian of the SIPS program, but they gave the mandate to CBE to facilitate and coordinate the production of the staff skills within the built environment. For the past years, we've been engaging other professional councils. What we are left with now is to engage the landscape architect and property builder professional council. So this financial year, we will be engaging them so that we support them in producing the skills within their mandate. target under program 2 is that will be, it's 150 grade 12 learners to be enrolled in a math and science support program by March 2018. Through the skills pipeline, it was noted that it is difficult for the industry to transform or to target our transformation initiatives at a higher level. We believe that it is important to start with the transformation at a basic education level. So CBE will be increasing our awareness at school level, because if you ask a child in primary school whether they know about the engineers or whether they know about the architects, you'll find that almost less than 1% of them know about this profession. But if you ask them whether they know the doctors, the nurses, they will definitely know about those professions. So it is our responsibility as CBE to make sure that we increase the awareness of this built environment profession at the lower level. We are also continuing with our pilot project. We will be having 50 new intake of candidates and placing them in different workplace training. We'll also be placing 100 interns for web-integrated learning. I think the Honourable Chair asked whether whether we are talking to each other with CIDB in terms of the workplace, the placement of learners or interns for web-integrated learning. I think going forward, we will be working together to make sure that we don't duplicate, but we collaborate on those initiatives. Our target is also monitoring the accreditation process by the CBE pieces. It is important for the CBE to participate in this accreditation visit, because one of our mandates is to ensure that the CBE pieces, they apply their policies in a uniform manner. But it also helps us as CBE to understand the challenges that are faced by the institution. It is also important for us to be there, because we also understand we look at the gaps in these institutions, especially around the issues of transformation, because some of them are not yet transformed. So as we participate in this accreditation visit, we are able to identify those areas, and we are able to engage the Council of Higher Education for their intervention. CBE will also be engaging the Department of the 9 Provincial Public Works Department on the implementation of the CBE Structured Candidacy Framework. This is a framework, again, that emanated when the CBE was developing the skills development pipeline, the skills training pipeline. So we have the structured candidacy framework. What we have realized is that when new graduates join the employment, they don't get necessary training, which will help them to be registerable. So as CBE, we have introduced this framework so that we introduce it to the employers, and they can use this framework to help their candidates to go through the training within the workplace. Program 3, this is the strategic objective is to provide informed and refreshed advice to government and the public on built environment priority matters that are identified in the medium-term strategic framework. So the target under Program 3 is, this is a research program. As a result, we end up producing reports at the end of engaging with our stakeholders. So one of the reports that we will be producing under this program is there, we'll be reporting on the initiatives to support infrastructure skills within the government. Again, this is important because we are trying to leverage resources within the government. So by engaging in this exercise, we'll be able to identify duplication and advise the government accordingly. And then the second target is one research report on the state of readiness of municipalities to implement the standards for infrastructure procurement and deliver management. I think what has been a struggle, especially in delivering infrastructure in our nation, it is around the issue of procurement. So National Treasury has introduced the standards. What we have seen when we engage our stakeholders, contact the armed municipalities that are not ready, but as CBE, we will be engaging them and to identify their state of readiness and be able to advise the Department of National Treasury. And then last on the program 3 is the research report on analysis of the impact of built environment skills development initiatives. We've been doing a number of initiatives within the built environment to bring about transformation, but we have not went back to check whether we are making any impact. So we believe that it's important for us to do that exercise and be able to reflect on what we have been doing, whether we have been doing it the correct way, and be able to apply the leaders as such. In program 4, it focuses on ensuring that built environment professions operate within a regulated policy and legislative framework. We have a number of targets under this program. The first one is on the appeals. CBE from time to time receives appeals from the aggrieved members of public or sometimes aggrieved professionals. So at CBE, we have to make sure that we support those who have so as CBE, we have to make sure that we support and we create a platform for those aggrieved members. Most of them, they are aggrieved by the professional council. So we have to do that within a period of 60 days. We are continuing to engage the competition commission on the identification of work. What we have decided to do is to develop a web help. An action plan so that we start to engage the competition commission. We are also reviewing and aligning the CBE corporate governance framework with the King 4 principles. I think that the committee members will are aware that our practices, they are not by law compiled to align with the PSMA. But what we are currently doing, we use King 3 and King 4 to make sure that they work within acceptable principles. We are also addressing the 6 BEPC policies to check whether they align with the minister's approved policy framework. What happens is that CBE, through the Department of Public Works, the minister develops policy framework. Remember that the mandate of the CBE is to ensure that the 6 BEPCs, they apply their policies in a uniform manner, but they need a framework to guide them. So our role as CBE is to monitor that process. Another target is the 50% of PSMA workshop outcomes implemented by the BEPCs. Although the BEPCs are not by law aligned with the PSMA, but we have engaged them and we've developed a working roadmap so that we assist them to align with the PSMA. So going forward, or slowly, we've been seeing them transforming the way they do their reports. They now they are able even to submit their strategy plans according to national treasury requirements. So we are engaging them, we conduct workshops with them so that we guide them and we support them in their alignment with the PSMA. And then lastly, it is to support the 60 EPCs with their strategic plans, annual performance plans, and their annual reports. This must be submitted to the Minister of Public Works, but we understand that they've been struggling financially, they've been struggling even with the resources in terms of developing these documents. But again, we've been working closely with them, and some of them are still behind, but we have a commitment that we will be working with them until all six of them are able to comply with the legislative framework. I will ask Program 5 Chair. The goal of Program 5 is a built environment that is responsive to the developmental and economic priorities of government. Transformation is one of the key areas for the minister, but also for the government as a whole. So part of our program 5 for this financial year, we will be having a transformation endeavor because we want to mobilize stakeholders within the built environment. We want, at the end of the day, to have the transformation chart. I think the acting CEO spoke about the construction chart. It is important for the sector to have a transformation charter so that number one, we understand what we mean by transformation, but also we are trying to mobilize the industry to have to set targets for themselves to drive a transformation. So what the of the outputs or the target of the of program 5 is the implementation plan to incorporate health and safety, sustainability, labor-intensive construction, and IDMS into the built environment academic curriculum. In the last financial year, we've been looking at the level in which the tertiary institutions have incorporated these four knowledge areas. So going forward, we still want to work closely with them so that those who are struggling to incorporate these four knowledge areas, we support them, we work with them until they align themselves with the government priorities. And then lastly, we'll have a benchmarking study on transformation. We came here, I think it was in February, to the Portfolio Committee to present the transformation initiative. But we are still committed to look at the gaps within the built environment industry, but also to look at the best practices so that we are able to adopt those to make sure that we support transformation of the built environment. I'll request the CFO to take us through the budget.
Just to follow on what the CEO outlined, that the plan out is for 27 and 18 programs. What we've done here is at the table that I've put up on the screen, we've showed the expenditure per program. I've showed the audited outline from 2011-12 to 2015-16, the current year 16-17 budget, and then the medium term. I think it gives a good idea of the trend that we're following, at least quite erratic, especially on 2014-15-16, on program 2, there is quite a big increase to 2015-2016, and from program 3 as well. The reason for that sharp increase between those 2 years is the approval from Treasury for GMOP to retain the surplus fund, and we use these surplus funds in these in projects within these programs. That is why it is a sharp increase in expenditure for the curriculum. On the current year budget, if we look at the medium term estimate, I'll just look at the 2017-18, just run through all the programs. Program 1 is a 5.8% increase. Program 1 is the administration program, which would incorporate the salary increases and the increases on corporate services and enabling support services. Program 2, there is a 24% increase on Program 2, and that is just brought in line with the planned output to increase or to focus more on Program 2 on the skills and for the infrastructure building. Program 3, it's very much the same as the standard national treasury increase, about 6% increase there. Program 4, we've got an increase of 6.1, which is in line with treasury increase. Then we've got a new program 5. Now, prior to 2017-18, Program 5 outputs were included in Program 1. The reason for the additional program was, just to fall in line with Treasury, that Program 1 would incorporate administration, corporate services, and enabling and support services. And we then removed the government policy and authority that was included in Program 1, that somehow tended to the results, especially when looking at the APP outputs versus the RAND value. It didn't make sense. The RAND value included the salaries and wages, and the outputs for government policies and priorities, you know, they weren't many then. So that's the reason why there was an additional program at Program 5. The total budget increase from 16-17 to 17-18, about 9.1%. This increase on expenditure is mainly due to a favorable increase on our grant funding from the federal. If you look at the following page, sources of income for this disbursement. Well, I've done the same year on the years, just to show the trend. And fortunately, our grant funding is showing a steady increase. And between 2016-17 and 2018, we have actually got 11.8% increase there, which is very favorable in this economic time. Our interest there in 2016-17, we budgeted 1.7 million. And then we reduced the budget to 851 in 2017-18. The reason there being we increased the budget because of the surplus funds that we retained that Treasury approved. So we could earn more interest on that. And we're using the central public deposits account. And then the levies, it's at the 0.5% increase there, but the levies are very, they vary from year to year, depending on the registration of the membership. So if you look at our total revenue from 47.1 million to 1.4, that's the 9.1 that we just looked at from the expenditure. So we have budgeted for zero. Yes. And then the schedule that follow on, I won't go to all this. What I've actually included is the major line items of expenditure, just to give
because we believe that if we can facilitate the metros, they will be able to support other smaller municipalities that are around them. The classification of the built environment, which is the task of our minister, the CBE is working closely with the ministry to make sure that the space is being facilitated. We are also increasing our visibility through a school awareness program. So these are the areas that we are focusing in during 2017-18 and other outreach that you have highlighted above. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Natosi. Honourable members, I know it's late in the day, members don't get overtime. Anything from your side? For the mic? Okay.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. In the past, we have been talking about gatekeeping as far as the young professionals are concerned, especially when they get into the field. Now, there is an issue of the interns, which I want Larry to comment. Last time I said I've been watching or looking into the training program. And this letter has been reaching those are doing this with professionals. So you find that when some of them, when they graduate as diplomas, they start with the intent. And at the same time, even those who have a degree, they want them to start with intent, when we know that the intent is another way of getting people. Are never capacitated. What is the situation? How do you influence the that issue? Then the other one is the registration of this professional. But I think you did touch a bit on what strategies are we having to ensure that we encourage them to register. So if you register, there must be an incentive, there must be something that encourages you to register. So that they don't just register at the end of the day, they don't gain anything out of it. What is the situation as we speak? On slide number 16, you talked about the workplace training framework. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? The issue of assisting the basic education with mental health, how do you come in to make sure that the learners that are training mental health and then to ask out of the because I know as well as people have got this, especially people who are taking them who have been trained in mental health or what is actually happening. Number chair, I think I'm fine now with the questions that I have. The issue of 60 days on that number 25, that when there are complaints lodged, they are being addressed within 60 days. Can you rate it? Can you rate it yourself? How do we rate ourselves as far as the 60 days is concerned? Because we know, like the payment which we say is not 30 days, it's never 30 days. What is the situation here with the 60 days? Is at this rate achievable and you're achieving it, or what is the problem? Okay. slide number 27, which talks about sustainability of labor in building construction. We used to have in Hackney, I don't know whether it is now, the young professionals have been trained on this labor intensive construction, which to me it is a very good thing if we do it properly. But now I haven't, for some time, I haven't seen it happen. What is the situation?
On slide 8, your legislative mandate, most of the bodies that belong to the both TBE, they act from 2000. I know there are work done to enhance them, to enhance the talent of the government of the day. But how far is the work done? Second question, Chairperson, the Skills Development Act 97 was promulgated in 1998. Do you think it's still relevant today? And can you make proposals that speak to the challenges that our country has, especially with regard to the lack, the rise of skills? Most of the programs, all of them will be implemented by the 31st of March 2018. Now, 31st of March 2018, isn't that the end of financial year? You see, I would love you to break it up in quarters. Everything ends at the 31st of March. And then, Chairperson,
if I can set an example, page 20, slide 21, the ICT plan implemented by 21st of March. It's still open. Then the last one, Jefferson. I don't want to talk much, I'm really, really tired, but I'm looking forward to on slide 27, benchmarking studies on transformation by 31st of March 2027. Now, if something is benchmarked, have you looked at international best practices? Will this be a benchmark for the transformation goals of the democratic suffrage? Thank you,
Members. Just on that benchmark, against what have you benchmarked? Someone was saying that earlier on that they benchmark against Nigeria. Now, we've seen the inferior building quality that the Nigerians has used. So what have you benchmarked against? And is there an international benchmarking study taking place? And if there is, which country? And nationally, what have you benchmarked against? Over to you, ma'am. Oh, Honorable Adams. What do you say?
And this profession is really what I'm saying. And this is the same
to school children. I think one was the real focus should be to these kinds of skills. Get our people. Because you can do what you want. If you haven't been through the 394, you already in a certain way. This is one of the professions that you must be done to get right. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Lalosi.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was just corrected on the pronunciation of your surname.
Sorry. I think the first question is around the issue of gatekeeping. I think the question was how to influence the state to our to make sure that we have we provide for support to the Indian. What we are doing at CBE is that we are partnered with the Universities of Technology, because when we started this initiative, what we did was just to advertise at the different universities, and we allow individual interns to come to approach us and make applications directly to us. But we noticed that we were not making good numbers in that approach. So what we have been doing now, we approach the universities of technology. Currently we are working with four of them. So in that way we are able to target bigger numbers. I know that 100 is still like a drop in the ocean, but it's better than what we've been doing before. So for this the 2016-17 financial year, we're able to support 200 interns through that program instead of just picking up individual interns. We are now working with a group of interns. So this is how we are influencing the space. But what we do, we give the interns stipends, because I think that is what they are struggling with. Companies do not take them because they can't pay them. So as CBE, we are able to provide that stipend so that we support the employer. So this is what we have been doing so far. But we are also trying to get other companies who can work together with us so that we increase this 100 into a bigger number. So I don't know whether I've answered the question, but this is how we are making sure that we support the intern program. And then those who have graduated, some of them have to go through the internship. I think that is the difference, because the interns, they are still students. They just have to do their practical, within the places of employment. But those who have graduated, who are new graduates, then they have to go through internship. Currently at CBE, we are not in a position to support them financially. But what we have done, we have established a partnership with the South African Council for Graduate Cooperatives, because they have that kind of a program. So when we receive a request from the new graduate, we channel them to the South African Council for Graduate Cooperatives, because we don't have the budget support. But what is also happening is that that's why I think it will answer the issue of the structured workplace training. We are also working with the government department, because most of the government departments, they do have candidates in their midst, but they have not been able to support them or to expose them to relevant job opportunities that will help them to be registerable with their professional council. So we are trying to work in that space as well. That is why we are now using the CBE structured workplace training framework, because it is guides those government departments on how to help those new graduates into growing their competence. So that's the space that we are also working in terms of supporting the new graduates. In terms of the math and science program, again, CPE, we're trying to work on solo on the math and science initiative. What we've been doing is we have advertised for the service providers who can help us to implement the math and science program in different schools. We've done a number of provinces now. What has been the negative part of our initiative is that we've been coming in and out of the province. So as a result, we felt that our work is not sustainable in that fashion. So as from this financial year, we have identified the service providers who are already doing math and science programs. So what we have done is to request them to increase the number of learners who can benefit from their programs. So we see this approach as sustainable as compared to what we've been doing in the previous year. So this year we have we are in partnership with OHA in the Eastern Province, and we are also working with the University of Bloemfontein, who are already, they've been doing this program for a number of years. So they have skills, they have expertise. So our involvement is just to add on their budget so that we get more students who can benefit from the mental science program. On the 60-day on appeals, I think I'll proudly say that we've been able to achieve the 60-day turnaround time. So we made use again of the service provider to chair the appeals processes, and we've been able to deliver on that target. The sustainability of labor in general. In terms of the labor intensive in construction, I think as CBE, I mentioned that we are not implementers of projects, but we, through the BEPCs who have a relationship with the BAs who are the ones who are implementing the project, we are trying to mobilize them so that they adopt the labor intensive methodology. And also through expanded public works program, we are trying to gather case studies so that we can engage the BCCs and the VAs on those good case studies, so that they are able to implement them. So the state situation at the moment, I won't be able to respond correctly to that one, because it's, we are working with EPWP in terms of trying to mobilize the service providers. The question on the CBE structured workplace training framework, I think I've touched on that one, that we do have this framework to support companies, to support the government in terms of training their candidates, because after the candidate has been at work for 15 years, when they go and apply for registration, on they only find out at that stage that actually they don't qualify. So this structured workplace training framework, it is a plan where the companies can be able to use it and be able to support their candidates and be able to take them through the learning outcomes that are required by each field environment professional council. So this program, it helps the candidates as well as the employers to be able to assess their workplace environment and see whether this candidate will be able to achieve the learning outcomes that are required by the relevant council. So if the workplace area is not conducive, then the employer then can rotate that or can second the candidate to another employment area. So CBE is trying to market this structured workplace training framework within government sphere, but also within the private sector, so that it is accepted. And it is also used as a standard for developing countries, so that at the end of the day, they are able to register as professional. On the issue of skill development areas, I think we will request our research department to look into this area, because I think the FATB was saying that their act has been there for a number of years, it was not reviewed. So I think this is part of the area that we can do as we do in terms of looking at the challenges and what can be changed in this act. Oh, the targets that all our targets we have written that by the end of this March. We do have the breakdown of our targets per quarter, but what we are saying is that by the end of March we should have done all the required activities for that target. So by the 31st of March, they should, when AG comes in, they want to see, they like the time frame. So I think that is why we have put in the time frame for each target. But we, if you look at our AP document, we have broken them down into a number of activities for each quarter.
Chair, I don't know whether you're trying to look at the session. Benchmarking study on the transformation. I think in South Africa we have some good case studies on transformation. The accounting sector, I think we have seen transformation there. The lawyer, we have seen transformation there. So as much as we'll be benchmarking using the international standard, but in South Africa, we also do have good case studies that we can use. So in our benchmarking, we'll be looking at the South African context as well as the international standard.
Your partners. Oh, I thought the partners wants to talk.
No.
Okay. Look, I've got the rally voice, so it's fine. No, if that is all, thank you very much, acting CEO and CFO. And, you know, the CBE plays quite a big role. I had in my constituency, a career expo. That was the 19th and 20th of April. And the CBD was present. And it was quite amazed how many pupils or students went to the stand to find out what do they do. And it was quite interesting to talk to those students after they left the stand to say that now we've got a clear picture. Not all of one girl was saying to me, you know, I wanted to become a lawyer. But what my mark that I will be getting and my circumstances at home, I don't think I will make it through law school, but I'm very much interested in going into the built environment and studying towards that. And that was quite for that moment. We want to thank the acting CEO. I think you were there present. You were there? Oh, no, okay. But thank you for arranging and sending down the crew that could guide these learners and assist them. So members, please, you must arrange these things in your constituencies and invite these people. They are there. Even the department was there. And CBE was there, department was there, and IBT was not there, CIDB was not there, but be that as it may, there will always be another round that will come. DPW, anything from your side? As we are closing.
Thank you very much. I think we have taken note of the presentation that was made by the entities. I must indicate that the entities have actually done the presentation to the department as well, and that's why the minister has actually agreed to support the EPPs that have been presented. I do note indeed the issues that have been raised here in this meeting. Starting with the agreement SA, its migration process, which we are assisting them with, because they have received a proclamation. They are now a full-fledged entity, and we are assisting them in terms of migrating from CLIR. And we have taken note of the IDT issues regarding the issue of payment within these days. Definitely, I will communicate this back to my superiors so that we really up our game in terms of assisting and improving our turnaround time for payment. The matters of CIDP as well, we also indeed support the new plans and new strategies that have been put in place by the board. And we are obviously in the process, because of the Act, in the process of getting a new board from the 1st of August. But we will be doing everything in line with the Act, which actually indicates what process must be undertaken. But we have taken note of the concerns that has been put forward by CIDP, especially in terms of having developed these good strategies, and now making sure that they are delivered at the end of the financial year, APPs and the strategic plan. And then obviously the issues that have been raised by CBE as well, we are quite conversant with them, and we are really assisting wherever possible, as the show.
Oh, thank you. ladies and gentlemen, honorable members, let me take this opportunity of thanking everyone who is here today, those in absentia, specifically for you as members. Thank you very much for the duration that you have suffered and the long hours. We've just come out of a constituency meeting where a constituency period We had to also work long hours, and thank you very much for the first day at work, and where Sir Edgar Nelson has felt that it must be a grueling day, and because he's, in his view, and you have rested, and you have rested well. But let me start thanking all the CEOs, CFOs, the board members, DPW, our staff, Ray, in the heads, as well as Koliswa. Thank you very much for today. I think our next session, we will definitely strive to have a two or three day workshop. We will get all the entities, plus the departments. We will also get Treasury, Development Bank, as well as Monitoring and Evaluation, Human Settlements, and Basic Education. But mostly those that has got to deal with the delivery sector of the value chain in public works. Where we will then come together as a family under one roof and express dissatisfaction or satisfaction towards our counterparts in the other entities to say, guys, because of you, we can't deliver. So we want to make public works work so that South Africa can work. Thank you very much. You must have a nice evening. If you travel tonight, safe travel. And if you can, spend as much time with your families, because life is very short. Enjoy them, love them, treasure them. Don't treasure other families outside of your domain. That is causing sick people trouble. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. God bless. Thank you.
I will need a prayer.
No, definitely.
Innovation and development.